Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party this Saturday. Sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over on youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.
I'm here, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 318. I'm going to dedicate it to Pib. Mr. Pib, it used to be called Pib Extra. If you know, you know. Thank you. Hopefully we get a sponsorship with them, and I am stumbling on my words already. It's going to be a fine episode. We'll get through it. I am Jeff Chalks Fox. I am back again from vacation, still in vacation mode. Actually, no, I butcher things even when I'm not in vacation mode. But I am here to talk about PFL this week with my trusty co-host. It's actual legitimate PFL, not this challengers or contenders or whatever they want to call that other abomination that no one can make weight for. No, this is legit PFL, people fighting for $1 million PFL. So I'll set him up. He'll knock us down a bunch of winners. The man I'm speaking of course, is Daniel Gumby God Vreeland. Hello.
Let me ask you a question about Pib, because I know you got yourself some Pib.
Got myself some Pib and some COVID from the States. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Pib. So I saw you picked up some Pib Extra or yes. Some Mr. Pib over the weekend. And I got to ask, did it come in an 8-pack?
12.
Oh, okay. Because I know when I was in Florida for a while, like when I used to play baseball, we'd go down for spring training and stuff like that. They only sold Pib in 8-packs.
No, which was too powerful to sell in 12? Is that it?
Or not powerful enough to sell in 6s? I don't know. It was like a very weird size, though. And I always remarked, like, huh, well, that's different. Yeah, so there that is. That's my take on Pib.
Things are different in Florida, though, I've found. They're a little bit different.
They're turning into Texas 2.0, I think. So that's fun.
Georgia's following along. It's fun.
You should always have, like, a crazy uncle. And if your crazy uncle is there, you might as well have him bring his friend to Thanksgiving, too.
That's what Florida is, the crazy uncle state of the U.S. Very, very true. We're not talking about Florida. Actually, is this event in Florida? No.
I hope so. God, that'd be awesome. No,
it's in Vegas. Sadly. UFC is going to be in Florida next week. So we can have more Florida man stories next week. Because UFC is going to be there on April the 8th. But no, we're talking about PFL. They're going into the UFC's home turf in Las Vegas this week to kick off PFL 2023 regular season. PFL 1 is what they're calling it very wisely of them. And it is, what do we got? Light heavyweights and featherweights. Tournament is kicking. These are all tournament fights. Am I correct?
Well, we're regular season fights now.
Right. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yes. The
CFP. Yeah. No. So they're in, this is all featherweights and light heavyweights.
Yeah. None of them are like backup fights or anything like that, right? All these
Yeah, I guess now, as long as the fight's happening from now till when the regular season closes, they just count it as a regular season fight. I mean, I think they do still have some like showcase fights, but I think they're squeezing them all now into whatever that PFL pay-per-view thing is going to be.
Yes, because we want to pay for it. I actually like PFL though. It's something different. I like the setup.
Yeah.
They have decent fighters. You know, it's much preferable to Bellator or stuff like that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
And they, wholeheartedly agree with me.
Yeah, well, I mean, they signed a whole bunch of guys too who are like just tried to get out of their UFC contract because this was more interesting to them, which was kind of what they were hoping all along. But I think the UFC is like almost welcoming it. Like Christoph Jocko is fighting this weekend.
Yeah,
we're not going to talk about him because he's a late replacement in his fight, and I don't think they had odds originally for it when we decided what fights we were going to do. But like, that's a perfect example of a person the UFC doesn't want on roster anymore, making 60 and 60 or whatever he was making. And now he's got a place to go. So and it doesn't mean he's not fun to watch.
And although it helps UFC in any court drama, antitrust, monopoly, all that type of stuff. They can be like, look.
Look, Christoph Jocko, we couldn't lock him down.
look, Marlon Moraes is fighting. So Marlon Moraes is headlining, which is very interesting.
He shouldn't fight anymore.
Yeah, we'll talk about that very, very shortly. I'm going to tell you about WinBet, then we're going to jump in here and give you some picks and some odds and all that fun stuff. Where is my ad read, Dan? I know it's for WinBet. I know that because WinBet keeps the lights on in here. Let me tell you about once it loads. Here we are. WinBet is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I did know that. WinBet is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WinBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And of course, for our degens only, if you hit the biggest long shot probably of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. SGP Masters. Looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world. You can win a 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. If you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP at 15. And if that's not enough, we got an SGP Final Four Watch Party. The Final Four Watch Party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action. Live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday. All right. We will be tuning into PFL when? Saturday as well. Make sure you get in the Discord before then, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord and chat about this event. PFL 1 2023 regular season, Saturday, April the 1st, April Fool's Day, 6 p.m. Eastern time, going down from the theater at Virgin Hotels. We got 11 fights, all of them either light heavyweights or featherweights. We are giving you picks for 5 fights, and you're actually good. PFL is one of the things you make your name off, is it not? If I remember correctly, after all this time away,
I did pretty well on PFL last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know I did pretty well last year on PFL.
It's no Dana White Contender Series, but it keeps the lights on. Put some money in your pockets. We're going to start with the opening fight on the card, aka the curtain jerker. It is a light heavyweight fight, Corey Hendricks versus Impa Kasangane. Couple of names you may remember if you're hardcore MMA fans. Hendricks will break down first. 9-5, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions, but knocked out one time. 2-2 in the PFL. He's gone 3-2 over his last 5 fights. He did lose his last fight. He went 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. He's 6 years younger than Kasangane, 4 inches taller, plus 180. Kasangane, remember his nickname, Dan, from his UFC days?
Chilobo.
And that doesn't mean something. Do we know what it means?
God sent, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
Very good. God sent. He's 11-3, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 1-0 in PFL. He's won 2 straight fights. and three of his last six. That would be 3-3. His last two wins have come via knockout or TKO. He's fight at middleweight. Yes, that's correct. He also fight somehow at welterweight. He did miss weight for welterweight recently. Very, very badly. I think it was like 179 and a half he came in at. 2-2 in the UFC, 2-0 in Contender Series, 2 inches of reach, a lot of twos, over Hendricks, -220, holy twos.
Yeah, he did miss weight pretty badly for welterweight. It's also crazy because like he's going from welterweight, which by the way, that fight was like a year ago, almost to the day of this fight.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah,
it wasn't that long ago. He was trying to fight at welterweight, and now he's going up to fight Corey Hendricks. Did you give the odds on this?
Yes, -220, 220 for Kasanganay, +180 for Hendricks.
Yeah, I'm +180 for Corey Hendricks here. You know, part of it is the size. I'm really worried about how this size works out for Impa Kasanganay because, like I said, he was a small 170 guy. Like he's not. He wouldn't even be like a huge welterweight, right? He was a little bit smaller on the middleweight side, right? Like when he was fighting Joaquin Buckley. Joaquin Buckley isn't like a big middleweight, right? Like he's a stockier, shorter guy, and he wasn't outsized by Impa. And now we're talking about Corey Hendricks. Corey Hendricks is not a small dude. Corey Hendricks is a beast. He's like 6'3". He's, you know, in while Corey Hendricks has kind of been like joked and ragged on as being like one of the worst guys to come out of the Ultimate Fighter and make the finals. He lost to, do you remember who won that season of the Ultimate Fighter?
Of course not, Dan. I'm not paying attention.
Josh Stansbury.
I don't even remember that guy.
It was Josh Stansbury, right? Because that's who
was
Corey
on that
in the final.
I don't even remember that guy.
Khalil Roundtree was on that season.
Yes, I know that guy.
He got
beat by Hendricks.
Yeah, yeah. And that season was really all about the women, though. That was the Tatiana Suarez season.
I don't remember this guy, this Stansbury fellow. I see pictures of him. Looks like an MMA guy. That's all I can say.
But back to my point about Corey Hendricks, he's beaten like very legitimate dudes. You mentioned Khalil Roundtree. He not only beat Khalil Roundtree, he subbed him in the first. He's beaten guys like Luke Barnett, who is also an Ultimate Fighter guy, UFC guy. He beat Emiliano Sordi, and he's doing that all with the ground game. So like you're looking at Impa Kasanganay, a guy who, when he was on Contender Series, kind of had a tough time with takedowns. He wound up winning that fight with Kalen Hill, but like kind of had an issue with the takedowns. A little while ago, but still had some issues and didn't look particularly great grappling with Joaquin Buckley before Joaquin Buckley hit that jump spinning back kick. So like if you're having trouble with takedowns of middleweights and welterweights, Corey Hendricks is going to make your life hell. And at +180, I think Corey Hendricks is a great play here.
Why do you think the number is what it is?
I think it's because Impa has got that like big knockout power and everybody cares. Yeah. Like he's coming off of back-to-back knockouts, including one over Jared Gooden, who just got re-signed to the UFC inexplicably and fought one of the grossest looking UFC fights I've ever seen in terms of pure skill.
I missed that sadly, Dan, but I watched it, but I missed it.
The Carlston Harris fight was so
with those
fucking
slap
bad.
Punches that Harris was doing.
He was, it looked like he went to the Trevor Peake School of Boxing. Yes. And I mentioned that in the Discord and somebody pointed out and they're like, nah, Trevor Peake's good at it.
Trevor Peake knocks people out, but yes.
Yeah. So that was bad. But anyway, Impa knocked him out. So I think people are leaning on the KO power of Impa Kasanganay. And I don't know if that's a good idea too, because like, it's not like Corey Hendricks is the type of guy who's going out there and getting knocked out all the time. Like the last time he was knocked out was like 5 years ago, and he's only ever lost once by stoppage. So I think the path to victory for Impa here is like he's got to outpoint him and dance around, and I just don't know that he's going to do that well enough to beat a guy who is as good at grappling as Corey Hendricks is.
There you go. Gumby bringing the goods early with a underdog pick. Let's jump up to the main card now. Excuse me, and down to featherweights. let me take another swig at Pib here. That's better. All right, Chris Wade versus Bubba Jenkins, a couple guys who are pretty good at MMA. Let's break it down. Badman Jenkins, first, 19-6, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. 5-2 in the PFL. He was the 2022 finalist, close but no cigar to the $1 million. He's won 3 of his last 5 and 8 of his last 10. He got TKO'd his last fight. That was in the finals to Brandon Lochnane, who we will be speaking about very, very shortly. Jenkins also was a regional champion. He went 8-3 in Bellator. He's fight down at light, or sorry, up at lightweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. He was a world champion in wrestling, as well as a collegiate champion, plus 151. The Long Island Killer, Chris Wade. Is there a serial killer on the on Long Island that we, with, is there a serial killer case going on that we don't know about? Because I have a feeling I know who did it.
I don't believe so. None that I know of.
Good. Chris Wade, probably not a good nickname to have. If there is a string of killings, you're going to be the number one suspect. But anyhow, Wade, 22-8, two knockouts, five submissions, never been finished in a fight, 10-5 in the PFL. 2021 finalist, used to fight up at lightweight. He's won two and two over his last four, and he's won five of his last seven. He did lose his last fight, which is the case if you're in the tournament and you don't win it. 5-2 in the UFC. He was a regional champion. 2011 pro MMA debut as well, just like Jenkins. 2 inches taller than him, minus 181.
I'm going to go dog out of the gate here.
All right.
I know this is a rematch, and I know you're always on the guy who won.
I miss that as a rematch. Oh, yeah, it's a rematch, of course.
Yeah, it's a rematch. It's a rematch from their fight back in 2021, I think. So it was 2 years ago. And I know you're usually the type who's like, well, if the guy won the first one, you know, give him the second one. But, like, there's a difference in the way that Chris Wade grapples and Bubba Jenkins grapples. And in their first fight, I think he negated a lot of it by, like, you know, like kind of bringing the fight to him and hitting him early and often. And what wound up happening was he winds up coming out on top of that fight. But shortly thereafter, Movlid Khabibulev, who we're going to talk about in a second, man, did he have him figured out when it came time for grappling. So I think that Jenkins is going to make the necessary adjustments here. I do think this comes down to whether or not Jenkins can take down and hold down Chris Wade. But man, like, he has for three straight fights and was doing all right against Brandon Lochnane in that, you know, championship fight. I do think he's got a better chance to win here than Chris Wade. So give me him in the rematch here and give me the dog money on it. You said 151?
Yes. Strange, that's a weird numbers. Number. Yes.
Yeah.
151 and 181, but we will take it. Plus 151. So it's back-to-back dogs. For Gumby, this is the Gumby that we know and love, right?
That's right.
Let's get one more in before I tell you about more sponsors. Let's do another fight. What should we? I think we're moving up to light heavyweights. Are we? No, we're staying, actually. The aforementioned Movlid Khabibulev. Is it Khabibulev?
Khabibulev.
Khabibulev, right? He's a champion. I should know these things. He is fighting against Ryuji Kudo, and I did the old Kudo joke last time, I remember, and you didn't know it because it's a Canadian commercial, apparently. So the Canadians know what I'm talking about. All right, Kudo, we'll tell you about first. 11-4-1, seven knockouts. He's been submitted one time, the only time he has been stopped. 1-2 in PFL. He's won one of his last four, but he has won eight of his last 11. So there you go. Lost his last one via submission. Used to fight at lightweight, 2-0 and won the championship. So we all know that means something. He's 3 years younger than the champion, inch taller, inch of reach, plus 475. Killer
Khabibulev.
Killer. I watched him fight last season. I should know his name, but he's 19-0-1 with one no contest, six knockouts, two submissions, 5-0-1 with one no contest in the PFL. And as I mentioned, he's the champion of last season. He was 1-0-1 championship. Used to fight at lightweight. 2011, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. Minus 650 coming on the champ.
Yeah, I'll take Khabibulev here, but I'm going to not pick that number.
No.
And it's not just because it's a massive one. It's because, you know, Kudo's going to come in here as a big dog, and he's going to come in with a big dog for a big reason. Is that, you know, he already had trouble with a guy like Bubba Jenkins in the wrestling. But I will say this. Shockingly good striker. I think people sleep on how much power Ryoji Kudo has, because he knocked out Alejandro Flores in a fight where he was a pretty sizable underdog. But if you want to peel it back one more before then, when he lost to Lochnane, he went toe-to-toe with him early in that fight, and he actually floored Brendan Lochnane, the champ, in the first round, had him hurt, the bell rang, came out in the second. It wound up going to a weird technical decision due to a headbutt or something towards the end. But, like, and he wound up losing the fight. But man, he was looking really good in the first, and he stunned the champion. So, like, I think that power is there. I think the fact that he, you know, every fight starts on the feet means he's got a chance. But, like, he beat a road to the UFC guy. So maybe there's a chance he hits the knockout. I would say if you got 10 bucks that you're going to throw in this fight, throw it on Kudo. Don't try to find like a prop that you like on Movled Khabibulev. I think Kudo's a lot more of a fun play, but at the same time, like, you know, if I'm picking winners here, gun to my head, I'll take Khabibulev.
All right. There's your pick. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues their March Madness College Pick'em. It is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And now we're finally going to move back up, I believe, to the big boys here. Light heavyweights, going to skip Jotko Fleury. Who are you picking in that fight anyhow?
I think Jocko, but I saw the early lines now, because we originally didn't break down that fight because there were no lines. That's why we snuck in Corey Hendricks versus Impa Kasangade. But I do dislike the line. I thought Jocko was going to come in like close to even, because I really thought, you know, late replacement, all that kind of stuff. But he's -500. It might be a sneaky place to bet Will Fury.
Yeah. All right. Co-main event time, Rob Wilkinson, Thiago Santos, a couple of names you UFC stands may know. Santos, Moretta, sledgehammer, is 22-11, 15 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times. This is his PFL debut. You may have seen him this past weekend cornering his wife at the UFC event. He's lost 2 straight fights, and he's only won 1 of his last 6. He did get TKO'd in his last fight. He went 14-10 in the UFC. 2-2 in the Ultimate Fighter. 2010 MMA debut. He's at +140. Wilkinson, Razor, Rob Wilkinson. 17-2, 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, so he's been finishing both his losses. 4-0 in PFL, and he is the champion of the world currently. So Santos, they're throwing him right into the fire off the get-go here. Wilkinson's won 6 straight fights, all via finish. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Hey, it's back.
That's got a lot less play when I have to do it by myself.
I know, it's not as fun. you should have got KCP in on that.
That seemed like a weird thing to have to explain.
It's true.
It doesn't feel as good when you do it that way.
Yep. Wilkinson used to be a middleweight, 0-2 in the UFC, 2011 pro MMA debut. It seems to be when everyone debuted on this card. 1-0 as a pro boxer, 2-0 as a pro kickboxer, 8 years younger than Santos, inch taller, -170.
Do you know who his 2 losses were to in the UFC?
He lost his only 2 fights in the UFC, and they were both good people.
One was CR Barjadazada.
No, not good.
It wasn't terrible. I think I had big hopes for CR, but he like got hurt all the time. And he lost he wound up losing to Ishmael Nardiev, who I also had big hopes for. But anyway, and then the second one was to Izzy Adesanya, and that's when they released him.
Yeah, that
which is a crazy, crazy two-fight streak. But I'm going with Wilkinson here. Okay. I think Wilkinson's kind of being slept on. I don't think this line should be as close as it is even. You know, I expected the Santos name to carry a lot of weight, but he is, like you said, 1-5 in his last six. And, you know, what's the scouting report on why he started losing? He got gun shy after the knee injury, right? Like after John Jones kicked his knee into oblivion, he doesn't seem to be able to pull the trigger anymore, right? Like he's, you know, letting other people go first. And,
That's what happens.
Yeah. It happened with
AG fighters. Happens with
it happened with everybody except for Johnny Walker. And in that fight, nobody went first. So, you know, apart from that, you know, just getting, you know, manhandled by any decent level fighter. And I think Rob Wilkinson is a decent level fighter. And he's the type of person who, if you let him go first, he's going to go first and try to rip your damn head off, because that's what Rob Wilkinson does. You know, we've seen it time and time again with this guy, that he just gets after it. You know, like all last season. I mean, he looked like a man possessed, beating the hell out of, you know, Victor Pesta or Dylan Monte, or, you know, like, I mean, he beat Omari Akhmedov very convincingly. He could do it with his hands. He could do it with his submissions. Got tons of first round finishes. Yeah. Give me Rob Wilkinson here.
Yes, siree. I like the line as well. So, all right. Main event time. Brandon Lochnane, the aforementioned Brandon Lochnane versus Marlon Moraes. We mentioned him as well. So, this is featherweight's opening round. Moraes, magic Marlon Moraes, 23-11-1, 10 knockouts, 6 submissions, been knocked out 8 times, submitted twice, 0-1 in the PFL. He's lost 5 straight fights. He's won 1 of his last 7. All of his losses have come via knockout or TKO.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, all of the last 5 is what I mean, or maybe the last 6, excuse me, of his 1-6 stretch. 5-6 in the UFC. He went 11-0 in World Series of Fighting and was the champion there. So he was good then. Most of his fights have been at bantamweight. This one's at featherweight. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He also was a pro Muay Thai fighter, +425. Brandon Lochnane, 26-4, 14 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 8-1 PFL and is the reigning champion. He's won 4 straight fights, last one via TKO. He went 1-0 in the Contender Series, 0-1 in the UFC. Used to fight at lightweight. Was a regional champion, 1 year younger than Moraes, 4 inches of height, 3 inches of reach, -600.
See, this is what I mean by not liking the Movlid Khabibulev fight in the line on it, because Khabibulev is a -650 favorite, and somehow the champ of the organization fighting a guy who just keeps getting knocked out is somehow a smaller favorite than Khabibulev is against the guy with a puncher's chance. And let's be real for a second here. Right now, Marlon Moraes, not even a puncher's chance anymore.
No.
And this is coming from somebody who has undoubtedly picked and bet real money on Marlon Moraes more recently than anybody else known to man. Because I picked him to win that Shaman Moraes fight. I really believed that he could. He was really 4 minutes away from doing it. But look, Shaman Moraes is not Brandon Lochnane. Shaman Moraes is much, much worse. Lochnane is a finisher. He's a guy who hits hard, and he's a guy who backs you into a corner too. It's the other thing. Like if you look at that aforementioned fight with Ryoji Kudo that I mentioned, where Kudo hit him in the open space, he just never gave him open space again. He just crowded him for the rest of the fight. Marlon Moraes does not fight out of those situations. That's where he gets knocked out, is when you corner him and you tire him out. And I think Lochnane has got the perfect strategy for that. I will also say, if Lochnane wants to make this super easy, he ought to go in and just shoot 2 takedowns to start this fight and to get Moraes just a little bit more tired.
Yep.
Put him up against the cage, wear him out, and then light him up anytime you want, because that's what's going to happen. He could also just go in there and throw a straight right or blow his nose, and Marlon Moraes is going to fall over. So, this one, if you want to throw in a parlay to make things a little juicier, please do.
What, props haven't been, published or posted yet where I'm looking up the odds. What do you think the knockout odds would be for Lochnane?
Let's see. It's negative 600 for the, yeah, the straight up win. Probably negative 550.
Yeah, that sucks. Too bad. But still, if,
like,
you're
if you
pick
think
him,
he's gonna, you think he's gonna win any other way, you could probably, yeah, get plus money on it. But like, he's gonna knock him out, dude.
He's gonna knock him out. All right. So the picks: Loughnane, a big favorite. He's got Wilkinson, a surprisingly smaller favorite. So get in on that one. Khabilov, I said it wrong again. Khabilov, minus 650, so a big favorite. He's in on that, but he doesn't like the line. He being Dan. Then we got some dogs. Kick things off. Bubba Jenkins as a dog and Hendricks as a dog. So we got you some dogs. We got you some big ones. So we got you everything you need to know for this event. Make sure you get in the Discord and you can chat about it with us on Fight Night. Anything else we need to tell people about this event, Dan, before we say bye?
No, sneaky pick in there, too. I'm just going to throw this one in because I'm looking, okay, at odds right now. Mohamed Fakhreddin. Yeah, he's fighting Martin Hamlet. And the line opened at plus 170 for Fakhreddin. And I don't know if you guys remember, he was somebody who the UFC was very close to signing like seven different times. And is pretty damn good. He was a Brave CF guy. He should easily beat Hamlet, and the line seems to reflect that. People are slowly getting in on him. He's gone from plus 170 down to negative 115 right now. If you can get him before it becomes negative 200, you're probably getting a steal. So to check that line out if you can.
There you go. Everything, now you've got everything you need to know for the PFL one. Told you about Discord, Twitter, we're SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's also a Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. Gumby also hosts the Top Turtle MMA podcast, so make sure you listen to that when it drops later on this week and every week. Read all our stuff, every sport we cover, listen to all our podcasts, get all our discounts, win all our contests at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And you can read the rest of my MMA writings on my Substack newsletter. It's moneymma.substack.com. Sound good? Good. Gumby, what we're going to talk about, what, Bellator next time we talk? Wednesday will, yeah, be Bellator. Gumby's excited.
Great, I'm pumped.
All right, take us home till Wednesday.
I'm Dana Gumby Freeland. He's Jeff Badman Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.